You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. With clients in over 20 Broadway shows and other stages across the world, we are your one-stop shop for all things theater and fitness. It's my goal to establish a bridge between the theater community and a pursuit in training like the athlete that you are. Actors are athletes, so train like one. If you want, go to the website, builtforthestage.com, and we can do a one-week free trial together where you will check out a Broadway client fitness program and we'll work on an interactive fitness app. All right, enough. Let's get on to our special guest today. Special guest, as always, I was just in London around 3 weeks or so ago, and the last show, my 13th show that I saw was Anne Juliet, and I was connected through Danny Khanna, a new friend of mine, a photographer, with an actor to be in our Built for the Stage photo shoot over there, and this actor is seen frequently on the stage as Romeo in the production in the West End of Anne Juliet. Also has been seen as Fiero in Wicked, and just has been seen because he's awesome. He's talented. He's very kind. Let's bring him on. Please welcome to the podcast, Carl Mann. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Jerry. Good to see you again.
So good to see you from across the pond. I wish we were side by side, but I guess technology is going to make it as best as we can do here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love your sweatshirt. Where can I get one?
Built for the Stage. I'm sure it's available on the website, on the Instagram.
That one was limited edition. Those are extinct. That's all.
Can I tell you, I wear this like every day. It's so comfortable. I'm not trying to sell them here, but it's so comfortable. The fabric is so soft. I literally wear it every day. So thank you for this gift. I love it.
Yeah, more to come. I'm actually chatting with, you're familiar with Theater Cafe?
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Theater themed cafe by, I think, Notes Coffee Shop and the Opera House over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyways, been chatting with them and they're helping me with a distributor in the UK so I can ship all my apparel directly from there so it can get to you quicker and more frequently. So more to come for you. We got some strong, it's called Stronger Than Before. It's from Casey Garvin. Mm-hmm. He's a Built for the Stage member, longtime friend. He's in Some Like It Hot right now. So I'll send you some Stronger Than Before stuff soon.
I would love it. The fabric is really, really, really comfortable.
Yeah. It's
really good fabric.
We try to do it right. We try to do it right like you do all the time on stage. I saw you as Romeo. You were phenomenal.
You did. Oh, it was my birthday, I think. Was it my birthday? Or the day before my birthday?
It might have been around it, but I don't think it was your birthday day.
Okay, but it was actually around that day.
I think it was before it, because when I followed up with you on the Insta, I think I remember saying like, oh, holy crap, it's your birthday. Happy birthday.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, you saw me as Romeo, which was amazing. I'm so glad that you were able to catch it, because obviously I don't play it every day. I play it like, you know, every few weeks or something. So it was really cool that you got to see it. So yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't my intentional first question, but let's just throw that out there. Since you're not always on, how do you like stay in a flow or a groove when seemingly it's like you start and you stop, you start and you stop? You know, how do you find your rhythm when you're not on every night?
Right. I have an ensemble track as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the show every day anyway, but obviously I'm not singing as much as like when I play Romeo. So I guess the show, just being in the show every day keeps me focused. If I have a week off, like a vacation, and I go back to the show, I it takes me like a show to get kind of back into the world. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So since you're in the ensemble, you're not necessarily playing the role, but it's still like subconsciously in your ear the entire time. So it's still kind of
100%. Yeah.
Living in your brain a bit. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite song to sing? I told you that I was an NSYNC person at heart. And there's a lot more Backstreet Boys in there. What's your favorite song that you get to sing?
My favorite song, actually, as Romeo, my favorite song that I sing is Love Me Like You Do, which is originally by Ellie Goulding. Mm-hmm. But obviously, every song in the show is written by Max Martin, who is like a complete genius. So that's I feel like that's a little less known song that he's written, because everyone knows like Oops, I Did It Again and all these kinds of huge Britney songs.
Wait, clarify this for the ignorant listeners, aka me. This writer, all the songs that are covered are written by the same person?
So every song, yeah, exactly. Every song in Anne Juliet is written by Max Martin, who, if you just literally Google his name, like the catalog of songs he's written is like, it's, I don't know another songwriter that's written these songs, the amount of songs. Obviously he collaborates, it's, you know, Max Martin plus like some other writer, but he's written or produced every single song from like Britney Spears, Katy Perry, Ariana Grande. Like his catalog is insane. And every time I've met him, he's just this most down to earth guy that I'm like, your mind is like, I don't know how you have that in your mind.
So he's the mastermind behind all of these pop hits.
Yeah. I think on Broadway, they're billing him as like the Shakespeare of pop. You know what I mean? Like he literally is.
Very fitting. Yeah. Very fitting. Speaking of, there's a lot of buzz going around in America because Anne Juliet is getting on its feet over here. So that's been really exciting. And I feel like I'm a part of like a special club, because when I go see that, I'll have gotten to say that I saw both productions. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
We'll jump into the show a bit more and jump into you as a person, highlight you. But let's shake it loose a bit and go straight into something that we like to call the BFTS hot seat. All right? Does it sound intimidating? Oh, my goodness. I didn't tell you about the hot seat, did I? Here we go. See the music?
I don't know. I'm excited.
All right. Welcome to the BFTS Hot Seat with Carl Mann. All right, Carl, here we go. Question number one. You're walking into a room, the TV's on, and a movie's playing. And the same movie that's playing you have seen over 100 times. But no matter what, this movie stops you and you have to watch the movie. What is this movie?
Clueless.
Yes.
100%. 100%. I'd be like, yes.
Okay. Amazing. Good. One for one. Great. Quick answer. Awesome. All right. We get to see your music playlist. Three different categories. We'll start with category one. Category one is our commuting song. So either you're in the tube or you're walking down the street, you're on your way to the theater or the market, wherever. What's that song?
Ooh. Oh god. Probably like something Lady Gaga.
Okay, Lady Gaga. anyone that pops to mind?
Rain on Me.
Okay, Rain on Me. Perfect. All right.
Yeah.
We'll go with it. All right. You're at home and you're either like slowly starting your day or you're unwinding at night. What is that like chill vibes song that's always on repeat?
Oh gosh. I don't know about song, but I have like a playlist. It's like late at night work and it's very like chill vibes. There's no singing on it. It's just like kind of vibey, like low beats.
Techno, jazz, what is it?
It's I would describe it as like if you're going to like a really cool hotel and it's like what they're playing in the lounge when you walk in. Do you know what I mean? Like very like mellow, very mellow.
Okay, got it. All
but right, it's got a beat. It's got a little beat.
All right, last one. You want to turn up? Maybe you're like at the gym or you're feeling like groggy before the show and you want to get just amped up. What's that song?
I should have said my first answer for this one because it would be Rain on Me. But yeah, if I had to pick. If I had to pick another one, maybe like Work Bitch by Britney Spears.
Okay, great. Okay, you're reincarnated. You're coming back to Earth as an animal. What animal are you coming back as?
Like an eagle, because I would love to fly.
Okay, an eagle. Mm-hmm. Where would the first place you would fly to? Where would you go?
Where would I fly? Maybe like over Buckingham Palace, see what they're doing over there.
Okay, spy on them over there. Okay, yeah. Last one. Last question is, you just left me. Oh, yes, the last question. If you weren't on a stage performing, what would you be doing as your career?
If I weren't performing? Can I still be in the arts?
Yeah, let's see how close it is.
Maybe casting if I wasn't an actor. Maybe casting would be really cool. Cause I always think I watch like a show and I think, oh, that I know another actor that would be so great for that show. Or, you know what I mean? Yeah, okay. Definitely that.
All right, cool. Congratulations. You are off of the BFTS hot seat. Way to go.
That's hot.
Everyone, make sure that I just brought it back up on the screen that you're following Carl Mann Official on the Insta. You can also check out more on Carl. In the description of this episode. So just scroll on down if you haven't subscribed and rated and done all the things. All right, Carl, when once upon a time in your past were you like, oh, I like this singing, dancing, acting thing? When did this happen?
I was like 6 years old and my grandma took me to see Oliver. Do you know that musical? It's like a very old, there's loads of kids in it. And I remember seeing like all these kids on stage and I was just like, I said to her, like, how do they get that job? And she was like, it's worked really hard. And then they get there. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to do it.
This is the Please, Sir, I Want Some More, Oliver.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
come on. I'm pretty sure I went to like one of the like school field trips when you go see a play. I'm pretty sure it was Oliver. I think that was one. All right. So your grandma, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Bless her.
She too. Yeah.
Okay, so then what? What happened after that? Did you get into, like, classes? Did you go to some type of – what happened?
Yeah, I went to, like, a local, like, dance school and did, like, you know, dance classes and drama classes. And they did local theater. I guess you would call it community theater in America.
Yeah.
I would do that. But I was, like, doing the kid stuff. Like, I was in, like, The Sound of Music and, like, The King and I and all that kind of stuff. And I did a production of Oliver as well. And then – I was doing a lot of competitions and things like that. And then I didn't go the route of like going to like a drama school or a college. I left school at 18 and then my first gig was actually for a cruise ship. I auditioned to be a singer on a cruise ship and I got it, which is like, I was 18. I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to do that. And then I just progressed from there and never looked back.
So your school was the school of hard knocks, which is life, just going through life and learning from the actual business, what better way to learn than to be doing as you're learning? Any like experiences where, you know, you were learning on the fly and you can remember a person or a situation that really like helped you grow?
Well, I would say, I spent a few years in New York actually, and I took some classes at an acting studio there, and that really kicked everything up a notch for me. It was like, oh, okay, this is what I need to be doing, and it really opened my mind about about acting.
Yeah.
100%. 100%.
All right. When did you go back to the States? I saw it in your bio, Aladdin in Disney's Aladdin USA. What's that all about?
Mm-hmm. So I actually did a few years ago, there was a show. It ran for a long time, actually, but I only did it for like 6 months. It was a production of Aladdin in Disneyland in California.
Right. Okay, cool.
I don't know if anyone's seen it. I think Frozen took over. I think it might close now. But yeah, so I was in there in Anaheim for like 6 months, living my best life as Aladdin.
I was gonna ask, in California, are you a fan?
Was I a fan of California?
Yeah.
I'm like a city guy. Like, I like New York, London. I like to walk around and get your coffee and walk your dog. And New York, LA, sort of California was very like, get in your car, go to work, go back. It wasn't really a vibe for me, but I do miss the weather.
And sit in traffic for way too long.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Before Anne Juliet, what was the last show you're in? Trying to get a title.
I was Wicked. I did Wicked for, I was attached to the show for 4 years, but like in between that is like COVID. So I was a year and a half of that. I was not doing the show, but yeah, Wicked was a big part of my life before Anne Juliet.
Yeah. So you step into an iconic show like that. Did you feel the same amount of freedom as like maybe a newer show like Anne Juliet, or did you have any pressure of like, oh, this is Wicked, I got to check the boxes of like what everyone expects out of Wicked in this role, Fiera?
Yeah, very much that, and very much like stepping into this. I mean, Wicked is very like, is a machine that, especially here, has been running for like 16 years. So yeah. The way they teach it is very like, you stand here on this number of the stage and you turn here at this line. So it's very like that. But at the same time, I knew I was a very untraditional casting for the role. At least I felt that way. So I was like, I'm never going to be like this guy and this guy and this guy. I'm always going to be just myself. Yeah. So I feel like I've really brought something a little bit different to the role. In just me, like just being myself.
Yeah.
So I never felt pressured. I was just like, I'm just going to do me. And then,
yeah, that's always the best feeling when you feel like,
yeah, 100%.
You're reinventing something for sure.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
And then how was the process with Anne Juliet? Was there a lot of figuring out, like, was it collaborative between the cast and creatives? How was your rehearsal process with it?
Anne Juliet was a very different experience to Wicked, because it's a fresh show. It's a new show. The creative team were a lot younger and, I guess, forward thinking. And it's very much a woke show. So yeah. Everything was very like organic. The choreography was very hard for me to pick up because it's like very hip hop influenced. And I was like, I'm not a hip hop dancer. But yeah, it was a very nice experience, like especially like learning Romeo, because they were very like, I was used to being told, okay, stand on zero, go to one, say this line. But here they were like, it was very much like kind of like whatever takes you, you know, it's very, very cool like that.
Nice. Cool. All right, so backtracking to your 18, you book your cruise show.
Mm-hmm.
How long? 6 months? 1 year? How long was the cruise?
I guess that was like 9 to 10 months, yeah.
Okay. And you like being out on the water that long? It's not for everyone.
Back then, I was like, this is amazing. It was like I was away from home. This was like my college, like going away for the first time. Like I loved it. And then I subsequently did a few more. And as I would go back to them, I'd be like, this is so restricting. This isn't really for me. But the money you earn is great.
Yeah.
And you're traveling. I think it's really cool if like it's your first job. And you have nothing to compare it to, but now I couldn't think of anything worse to go back to a cruise ship. But yeah.
What were like a couple of your favorite places that y'all visited with the cruise that you got to see? Like a country, a city?
I think there's an island that's just off of like Australia. It's called Isle of Pines. And it was like when I thought of paradise, this was it. Bora Bora was really cool as well.
And would you, let's say like you hang up acting, would you stay in London or would you go to one of these types of places?
No, I think I hate being like far apart, far away from people. I think it's too, you know what I mean? Like I need to be connected to people.
Are you originally from London? Where are you originally from?
Yeah, so I'm from a place called Kent, which is like an hour and a half from London. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too far. It would be the equivalent of like if you were from Jersey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's on the shore. It's on the shore. So
I see you trying to sprinkle that accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, one thing I noticed in London was that compared to New York, New Yorkers, like Broadway people, whatever, they're pretty much like in the city area, the boroughs, or maybe just on the outskirts of Jersey. But the more I was chatting with people from London, some were commuting from like 60 minutes or more away. Is that something normal within the industry, you think? Or was I just kind of coincidence?
Sorry, one sec. Yeah. There are a lot of people do have like live further away.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of, I would say a lot of people do. A lot of people live maybe like 30 minutes away.
Okay. Maybe it's just because your tube is so much more reliable than our subway over here.
Maybe.
I was very impressed by your public transportation in comparison to New York.
Yeah, our tube system is great, actually.
Yeah. So with coming off of the ship when you're younger, when did you get like your first professional stage gig, and was that overwhelming for you, or did you feel ready after what you experienced when you're, you know, on the boat?
I think it might have been Aladdin, actually. That was my first sort of like musical. And I had seen the show previously, and when I got it, I was like, okay, cool. I think everything that's come into my life, I've always kind of just like, I don't know. It didn't like shock me. I was just like excited that do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was kind of ready for it. Yeah.
Okay. Let's then rewind and zoom in either about like you growing up or you meeting someone like somewhere along the way, this mindset of yours was, implemented, you know, like, rubbed off on you. Was that a family member? Did you have a mentor? Like who gave you that confidence of just like, hey, you're equipped, you're able, whatever comes your way, like you can do it.
Definitely my dad. My dad always just kind of, and my mom really, I've always been encouraged from a young age that I could, you know, whatever I wanted to do, I could do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that is so important in like every, I mean, you're a trainer, right? You're a personal trainer, and I think it's, you can probably see your clients, like if you believe that you can achieve a goal, and that's, you're already halfway there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. More than halfway. The longer I do this, the less I concentrate or focus with people about the actual exercise or nutrition. It's more about the mindset, because
100%
wherever your mind is, the body will follow. But if your mind is not in line with what we're trying to do, then it's all for naught, for for sure.
100%, 100%.
How do you stay mentally sharp or mentally healthy? Do you rely on exercise, meditation, friends? What do you rely on to keep yourself like grounded?
Well, grounded. I think I know I'm always in a better mood when I worked out 100%. And if I haven't worked out in a week or whatever, and I do work out, I'm like, oh, my God, why did I not work out? Like, I feel so much better. Right. And also, it's so easy, especially on like a Western or Broadway schedule, to kind of just like do your show, go home. And I feel like if I do that for extended periods of time, I'm like, no, I need to see people. Like, I have to stay connected and keep the conversation going. So I think that that's really important. And it can be so easily neglected, you know what I mean, in our busy schedules, all of us.
Yeah.
So definitely that exercise and staying in touch with people, 100%.
Yeah, I bring that up a lot with the fitness side of things, like being in a show, like, hey, you think you're moving or you think you're working out or you think you're keeping the body sharp, but in reality, you're doing the same repetitive show day in and day out, and you need mm-hmm. to train the body to mix it up, to be durable, to be better than your mm-hmm. show. But it's the same mm-hmm. thing with what you just said with like the social aspect and the interacting as a normal human. You are with people and you're talking, but it's all within like the confinement of how the show operates. You know, you have mm-hmm. 2 to 5 minutes backstage before this scene, or you have your normal pre-show chat or after the show, but again, it kind of runs that risk of monotony and getting into a,
yeah.
I don't want to say a lifeless habit, but like it's not new. It's something that the brain is just becoming neutralized to.
Yeah. You literally nailed it as well. And I feel like, especially in a show, because you have like, you know, 2 seconds in this moment between this song and then another moment, the conversations kind of like have an expiration.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can have this conversation and say this meaningless, whatever, for like 60 seconds. Like, okay, gotta go. I'm going, right. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, very, yeah. very, you've nailed that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can grow with the same people in different situations, or you can grow with different people in the same situations, or a combination of both. Not sure if I just confused you and everyone listening, but like if you're doing the show every day with the same people, it's kind of like the same operation. But I'm sure if you met someone for a coffee or the gym or to go do another reading or something, there's like that new life that comes with it. For sure.
100%. I love actually when you said reading, I love doing like a workshop. We call them workshops here. I don't know if you call them that in America.
Yeah,
New York.
Yeah, sometimes a workshop, sometimes readings.
Yeah, I love doing those because it's like something fresh again, especially when you're on a show for like a long time, for like a year or 2 years, and it's the same show every day. It's yeah. nice to go and do something for like a week, whatever. It's like something so different. And okay, you can use a different part of your brain again.
Let's say that doesn't come up though. How in the past, when things do get redundant in your show, how have you kept life or creativity fresh?
Oh, I'm really bad at that. But I did like a panel talk with someone the other week, and she's also in a long running show. And she said that her being in this profession, like our passion and our sort of like hobby, I guess, when we were younger, so it suddenly becomes your career. So it's so important to have something that is not related to singing or acting, or do you know what I mean? Something
yeah.
else.
Right.
So that's something that I actually have lacking in my sort of like day-to-day life. So I should probably like start like gardening or something.
Well, let's workshop it right now. Let's workshop it. Anything off the top of your head, like, that, like for me right now, it's either starting salsa lessons because I'm in Miami and everyone I'm in Miami a lot, also New York, but in Miami salsa and bachata is just like everywhere, and I'm like I gotta learn. And another thing is I've always loved watching tennis, but I've never had like a proper tennis lesson. Mm. So I've either been thinking about salsa or tennis. All right. How about you?
Cool.
Anything off the top of your head? You're like, I should do this. I should get around to doing this.
Do you know what? I am obsessed with this TV show called The Great British Bake Off. I absolutely love it. So I actually did a workshop for there's a new musical that's just opening here in the West End, which if anyone gets the chance to see it, it's amazing. So I did a workshop for that last year. And subsequently, I started watching the TV show. So I think that baking could be really fun.
All right. What's your first attempt going to be? Like a basic, like a cupcake, a cake, a brownie?
I love cupcakes. Let's do cupcakes.
All right. And is it going to be...
With chocolate icing on top. That's my favorite.
Will it be like chocolate? Like chocolate cake with chocolate icing?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it...
All right. Double mammy, baby.
All right. I'm going to check in with you. I'm going to be like, hey.
Please. This is good.
This is... You could do this by... Let's have it be this week sometime.
Okay, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to take a picture, and I'm going to tag you in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I wish I was closer so that you could send me some so I can have them.
I still could. It wouldn't be good, but you could do it.
I wanted to ask you about your experience with Starlight Express. You're a good skater, or did you have to learn to skate once you got the role?
Well, this credit on my CV is very misleading because I didn't do... So, like 3 years ago, but I was still involved with Andrew Lloyd Webber. So obviously Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote the show. And I think about, no, it wasn't 3 years ago, maybe 5 years ago now. It was like the 30th anniversary of the show. And they wanted to add some new, so the show is running in Germany still.
Right.
Andrew Lloyd Webber, he wanted to add some new songs and revamp the show. So we did this like week workshop for new songs, and then we did three performances in concert of the new show. So technically I did the show, but I wasn't really skating.
But to be fair, not to hopefully I highlight a credit where you are skating, you have Christmas on Ice. So were you skating in that?
I was not. So I was skating in that.
I told you we'd laugh. I told you we'd have a good time. Were you a singer to like off to the side?
Yeah. So it was like a Christmas show, and it was like on a like holiday on ice or whatever, you know, like that kind of thing. And then they had like some singers as well that would like, we did have to walk on the ice though. So I was like, you want me to walk on the ice? Okay. And then there was a few slips along the way, but yeah.
Did you fall?
But the skaters would, I must have fallen at some point. I think everyone fell at one point on that show. But the skaters would like skate around you and you're singing like, we wish you a Merry Christmas. Like all this crazy stuff.
You better be careful with these two credits on your resume. Someone's going to cast you blindly in a skating play or movie or something and you're going to have to skate.
I know. I have to think fast and learn fast.
Do you think you would be a better roller skater or roller blader? You know how there's either the four wheels or all the wheels in line? What do you think you would
100% roller blade.
The wheels in line.
100%. I used to roller blade like when I was younger. Roller skating is harder because it's like you can't turn as well.
Yeah.
You can't be as like swift.
I'm horrible at both. So either way, I'm screwed. All right, let's try to get a little bit more serious before I let you go. I appreciate your time. Along the way in your journey, what was like an up and down moment where things weren't all butterflies and rainbows? I ask this question for insight for our listeners. A lot of the time, my training with clients that listen goes hand in hand with like their, you know, pursuit in this really challenging career. So hearing someone else's story of like, oh, it wasn't just some red carpet rolled out and it was the smoothest journey ever.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm so grateful for all the shows I didn't get and all the no's I got. I think there are some people who, you know, graduate from their college or whatever and go straight into a show or a leading role. And I'm so grateful for the perspective of like having the no's and having like the disappointments, because I think when you get a certain job or you get to a certain place, it's so much more rewarding and you really appreciate it so much more. So I think anytime I've gotten a no, I always say it's not rejection, it's redirection. So I think that is so important to remember, like, and it helps you build resilience.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I've gotten some really heartbreaking no's and I've gotten close to a lot of things, but then I would get something else. I'm like, actually, I'm so glad I got this instead of that.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that was a no. You know what I mean?
I've never heard that. Redirection instead of rejection. That's mm-hmm. great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm picturing my head like every time you're coming up to a yes or a no, it's not necessarily a T in the road, but it's a fork. And if it's a no, mm-hmm. it's not a dead end. It's just a redirect.
Yeah.
Like you said,
yeah.
left or a right. Nice.
100%.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here you are. And if you would have had a couple of yeses when you had no's, you might not be chatting with me here today. You never know.
Exactly. Wearing this cool shirt.
Talking about chocolate cupcakes.
Yes.
All right. Well, I hope this 33 minutes and 45 seconds was painless for you. I had a good time chatting with you. And the last time I got to see you in London, it was great to get to chat it up. So can't wait to see you again, hopefully in March. So I'll be knock, knock, knocking either on the door of the theater or wherever you're going to be at in March. So thanks so much, Carl, man. Everyone, round of applause for Carl.
Woo! Thank you.
You can follow Carl, Carl Man Official on Insta. See ya. Thanks, Carl.
Bye.
All right, everyone. That's it. I'm Joe Roscoe with Built for the Stage. If you want to try a free trial, go to builtforthestage.com and we'll be on our way to a 7-day free trial where we'll work on an interactive fitness app. Don't forget, actors or athletes, train like one. Later.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.